Welcome to Inspired Radio with Helen Taylor. Get ready to be inspired. Stories have power and conversations spark change. So let's create a new world and get started right now.
Good afternoon, Melbourne. Good afternoon, Australia. And good day or good evening to all our international listeners too. I'm Helen Taylor. Welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you for an hour every Monday, 3 p.m. Melbourne, Australia time, and Sunday, 11 p.m. Central time in the US and Canada, for conversations and stories to inspire you. Firstly, I just want to thank my sponsors. I have a few people who have helped me to bring this show to life, and I will thank them along the way. Today, my sponsor is my son. Thank you, Gavin. He is a wonderful son and champions all the crazy things I do. So thank you, Gavin. I missed you all of you people there in Melbourne, Australia. I missed being on radio and speaking with my guests so they can share their stories. It's really great to be back. And for the international listeners, just for your information, I had a community radio show here in Melbourne, Australia, and it was going along beautifully with lots of guests and lots more guests lined up. And unfortunately, I was suspended. It was something to do with the content of some of the shows and my guests, and unfortunately, freedom of speech has been lost here in Australia. So with that, of course, I went looking for a better platform, a more supportive platform, and I found it here with BBS Radio. So thank you to BBS, and as I said, it's great to be back. So for my first show here on this platform, I'm going to share with you what the show is all about. So firstly, I want to announce my cosmic mission. Doesn't that sound fabulous? Cosmic mission. My cosmic mission is to change the world through conversations and storytelling, and to create and share as much love as I can and as we can, because it makes for a better world, right? It sure does. I'm going to share with you how the last 3 years brought me to this point. And along the way, you'll also get to know a little bit about me. The last 3 years, when I looked back, it's just incredible. 2022, I did public speaking. 2023, I published and released my own book. 2024, I bought a healing system here to Australia. And 2025, I started live community radio. When I look back, I think, who the hell was that woman? How did I do all those things? But it's just happened very organically and step by step, and it's been an enjoyable and incredible ride. So I just want to share with you a little of how that all unraveled. I've been questioning things all my life, and when I say these things, I'm sure that all of you are going to have some times in your life and some moments where you're going to relate with the things that I'm about to talk about. I've been questioning things all my life, and I've learned many things. I think I've been asking why since the day I was born. I was also very curious about the mind and the body and how they work, and that's how I came to be a healer, a massage therapist, a counselor, a mentor, a subconscious therapist, and a chiropractor. And I can now add to that published author, public speaker, and radio announcer. And when I look at that, I think, wow, that's, you know, I kind of inspire myself. Like, I feel like I've been many different versions of myself in this lifetime. For the past 20 years, I've been researching and investigating our world because I didn't think we were heading in a good direction. We certainly weren't getting happier and healthier, and life wasn't getting better. And I wanted better. So many times in my life, when I questioned my life and the way things worked, and when I spoke to others about, you know, what I was seeing, Most of the time, I just got really told to suck it up and just get on with things. Nobody really wanted to have conversations about why we were doing things the way we were. Were the systems around us supporting us and working well? Nobody wanted to look into the future and see, what did we need to change and how did we ourselves as people need to change? What I found was people just wanted status quo and story of my life. And I'm sure all of you can relate to this as well. I was always asking questions that people just didn't want to hear. So investigating and researching led me down many roads. At times I got swamped with information and I just got lost in the investigating. Can you relate to this? I mean, over the last 5 years, 5, 6 years especially, many people have started to question and research and look at the way things are working. So I'm sure all of you know how it can get really bamboozling and you can get swamped and lost in it. Because there's so much information to read and to watch, and there are so many voices to listen to, and so many concepts and ideas. So I made a decision for myself. I had to set some boundaries about research, and I decided that I would only listen to people who had first-hand information. In other words, I'd only listen to people who have experienced what they're talking about or who have studied and are sharing personally what they've studied. It just became a really good rule of thumb because how many times have you had people say to you, "Oh, I heard such and such say that they heard this," and, or, "on the other day I watched something and they were saying this." It's like listening to second or third or fourth hand information, and that's what I was getting lost in. So my special rule for myself was only to listen to first hand information or first hand experience. And it became a really good rule to follow. It just cancelled out the rest of that information and gave me clearer focus. So, as I said before, experience is extremely important. Like for example, riding a bike, you can read many books and you can watch many videos, but you only actually learn through the experience, right? We've got to put everything to the test at some point. You can't just listen to what everybody else says. You've got to test it out. And that's where I coined the phrase of calling myself the crash test dummy. When I was investigating my health, when I was investigating politics, when whatever it was, I had to be the first-hand experience. I had to test it out myself. So everything that I share now and in the past and in the future are some of the things that I've learned from first-hand experience. The most important thing I discovered was this. I found that the only thing I had to change was me. I couldn't focus on changing anyone else or changing the world, but I could certainly change me. Do you get that? How many of us get out there trying to change other people? How many of us get out there trying to change the system and change the world? What I realized is that when I changed me, I changed others and the world anyway. Do you get that? Took me a little while to get my head around that. It's like when I changed myself, it was actually like putting on another pair of glasses. And I started to look at the world and see it in a different way, usually a better way. When we're really busy, which is a lot of people out there, when we've got a lot going on and we're just do, and we've got one thing to do after the other, you just don't notice that you are seeing the world in a certain way and that you can change the way you see it. So, here's how radio started. As I said earlier, in 2022, I got asked to speak about my journey into the systems, my journey into what I coined living in the private, and what I found. So, firstly, in 2022, I got asked to do some public speaking. Somebody asked me if I would speak to a small group of people about how I made the change to start unplugging from the banking system, the political system, and the rethinking I'd gone through as I did that. My first response to that, unfortunately, was no. I just outrightly immediately said no, because what I didn't realize was in the back of my mind, I'd already gone through a very quick process, because the mind can put things together really quickly. Within seconds, my mind had looked at how would I put 15 years or 20 years of research and study into a one-hour talk, and had come immediately to the conclusion that that was impossible. So that was why I came to the decision to say no. I saw the disappointment on my friend's face when I said that, but that was the end of that. I said no. However, I slept on it. And I woke up the next day. And have you ever had one of those times in your life where you think something greater than you just told you to do something and you said no? Well, I can't explain it any more than that, but that's exactly what happened to me, right? I felt like something was asking me to do this talk. So I turned around to my friend and I said, yes, that I would do it. But I said, give me a couple of weeks so I can kind of just put together and figure out what I'm going to talk about, right? How am I going to package 15 to 20 years into an hour talk? So I did. I did that. We scheduled a date. It was at a cafe. I figured there'd be 10 to 15 people, maybe. I kind of had a figure in my head of how many people would be there. And I had just some notes together to remind me about different things that I'd done, different steps I'd taken. And I turned up. Well, to my surprise, there were 100 people that turned up at that cafe. Like, truly, I had my mind blown. I had no idea that that was going to happen. The butterflies in my stomach were so big that every time more people walked in the door, more butterflies turned up in my stomach. And, I knew I was going to go ahead and I was going to do what I was going to do, but boy, carrying those butterflies around was really hard. So I got this really clever idea and I went out into the audience and I just started introducing myself to the people, just saying, hey, I'm the one you're going to be listening to. I'm the one that is going to do the talk. And every time I just met them and met the people and connected with them, the butterflies got a little smaller and a little smaller. So that's just probably a nice little word of advice for anybody that has to do public speaking or anything like that. There are ways to make those little butterflies a little bit more controllable, but nothing controls them more than actually doing the talk. So I did. Here were all these people stepping up in front of me, and what I realized is that they were just looking for the same things that I'd been looking for. They were trying to change the outside and they were trying to change the system. And they just wanted some guidance and they wanted some understanding of what other people were doing as well. So here's a little bit of what I did in that talk, okay? The first thing I called it, as I said earlier, living in the private. Moving into the private is an inside job because it starts from rethinking the way that you live. What I realized is that, when we're growing up and being educated and being taught, whether it's through school or other areas of learning, we're being told how to think and how to operate. And taking back your power and becoming your own authority in the world actually means you have to rewire and rethink everything about the way you live. Everything, right? So I just told people not to proceed unless they were prepared to learn and research and actually take action as well. Because you can sit back and you can learn a lot of stuff, but until you put it into action and become that experience, like I said earlier, nothing changes. So what did I discover along the way? The first thing I shared with everybody is the discovery that our thinking really does create reality.
I'm going to keep repeating this, right? I kept repeating it through the talk. Your thinking really does create reality. And I explained a little bit to them about how our mind works, how our left and right hemispheres work, and how different levels of brain function work. And I'm not really going to get into all that now, right? But, we operate in a beta state most of the time, which is stress and fast paced. And we should be slowing down because then we get into an alpha or a theta state, which is a very slower, more focused way of getting about. What I shared again was that the clearer you get inside, the clearer your world is on the outside. A clearer inside builds certainty and trust in life and control over your mind and your emotions. And from that point, you get clearer and clearer about the way you want to live and where you want to go. I shared with them where I started my journey, and I started now, it would be 18 years ago. I started reviewing my health because what I did was review everything I'd been learned and every system that was available to us. So I reviewed health and I started researching the origins of medicine and natural healing and stuff. And what I found was that anything on health and medicine that was printed 100 years ago or more actually made more sense than the current narrative. I began to clean up my body, my water, my food. I cancelled my health insurance and vowed to only go to a doctor or a hospital if in an emergency. That was my way of taking full responsibility for my health. But I also had to remind everybody that it took me, years to come to these conclusions. I didn't just do it willy-nilly. I researched, I processed, and I prepared, and then I did it. 5 years ago, from that time, I challenged myself to live simply. I kind of used my grandparents as an example, and I decided that I just, wanted to live the way that they wanted to live because it seemed simpler, it seemed slower, a little bit more ease in it, So I wanted to remove all the harmful stuff that was in my life. So I started small, that was my focus. I started supporting local supermarkets, no more large supermarkets. I started to scale down how many products I needed, cleaning products, bathroom products, shampoos, deodorants. I got rid of my microwave. I got rid of my TV. I scaled down the things that I owned. I really wanted a goal of just being minimalistic, and I wanted to be as natural as possible. I changed my eating habits. There was less eating out. I started doing some fasting. I started looking at different ways that the body could naturally operate. I removed Facebook off my mobile phone. Oh my God. I mean, I remember at the time my mind nearly went insane trying to stop me doing that, I think what I'm saying here is when I started to change things, and you'll know this yourself, there's resistance. And the only resistance that is there is you. It's really crazy. When you start to try to change your habits for better or new habits, there's this resistance. I removed my emails off my mobile phone. I figured that if I couldn't handle them once a day when I got home, then there was a problem. I needed to, I was just setting a new bar for myself. No online games, minimal screen time. I got a smart meter. I got a Blue Shield device to protect me from EMFs because I'd been investigating those. I started looking at having no Wi-Fi or just being hardwired. And I started showing people some of the products and things that I found along the way. I learned about electricity and pollutions. I started reducing my expenses and my outgoings. Slowly but surely, I removed debt out of my life. I started challenging myself to pay bills immediately instead of, waiting 7 days or 30 days, because I found that when we don't pay our bills straight away, they just simmer away in the back of our mind. It all becomes this, kind of pressure. So anyway, all of these things shifted my thinking, and I just kept challenging myself to live better and simpler. And to slow down, just to slow down a little. I started to clean up the inside of my home and my life and myself. And when I did that, I started cleaning up the outside. It was very, very interesting. I challenged myself to stop relying on the systems in the way I had been and to start becoming the authority in my own life. Another thing I started to look at was technology and how much technology was happening in our world. I started looking at medicine and how it was making people sicker and not healthier. I started researching systems like money, like banking, education, politics, even our history. I started following everything backwards, reverse engineering everything. I even looked at flat earth and aliens and reincarnation, right? I mean, I was not in a position to be an authority on any of it unless I started researching it and started really listening to both sides of everything to try and just get an idea of what was the truth, So I found that in the last 100 years, there were a select few involved in setting up all of these systems that we now take for granted. And when this all started, that's when things really started going downhill. I started realizing that when you follow the money, those few people started these systems that we now take for granted and have been controlling how those systems roll out and operate ever since. And capitalizing on it as well, I must say, right? Along the way, through all this research, I found, I mean, I kept lots and lots of links and lots of different books I'd read and all the rest of it. But what I've found since that time, that a lot of those links don't work anymore. Isn't it funny about that? How, a lot of good information just either disappears or possibly gets rewritten. I just learned that the way life works wasn't working for me. It seemed to be working against me. And most of my life was a record of that because I always seemed to be pushing uphill, pushing against something, and I could always only get so far. What I also realized is that some of the systems, as I just mentioned earlier, only work for the people who created them. They aren't set up to work for the people that are a part of them. I mean, I started looking at the whole world and looking at it like a Ponzi scheme or maybe like a multi-level marketing scheme, I mean, you could look at banking like that. Whoever started banking, started a multi-level marketing system and got all these workers beneath them that were all working away to keep their system going. That's just a little snapshot of it, but what if the world really was set up like that? That's how I started looking at things. But I also began to find solutions to things, solutions to how to live a better life. And I started to find significant people along the way. Ronald Bernard was a man that I found along the way. He worked in the Bank of International Settlements, so he was actually a key player in how the banking system was set up and how it was operating. And what I found and heard from him was really awful. It was really awful. It was the truth and it was hard to swallow. But I asked for it. I wanted to find out just whether these systems were supporting me or not. And if they weren't, how was I going to unplug for them and how was I going to live moving into the future? More about him and more about everything I'm talking about right now is available on my website because my public speaking, the talk, was videoed at one stage, and that's up on my website. I'll give you details a bit later on. So I won't tell you too much more about Ronald Bernard, but you can find out for yourself. Bebe Bacchus was another one who had, the system had attacked her and had gone after her. And all she was doing was trying to live the best life that she could. And she started to find out the truth about how some of these systems were working and also why the systems were coming after her as well. And that was very insightful for me. It was just another breadcrumb, another piece of information as I started to unravel this world that we live in. Then I discovered UCC or Uniform Commercial Code. I started discovering all the world of corporations. Everything in the world is a corporation. Everything is contract law. I even started discovering that we are corporations or debtors based on our birth registration. You may have heard about straw man and those sorts of things. But I started finding the reality about what actually does happen. We're born and we're alive, but we get given a registration number, and with that, it creates a corporation. I started figuring out just what that was all about and the trust that gets created when we're born, unbeknownst to us, and how that goes onto the stock exchange and how all the corporations around the world are trading with that trust or that corporate entity for the entirety of your lives. I started discovering that there are a couple of systems, one behind another, working all the time, but we're not made privy to it. So I'm not going to get much more into that, but when I did discover about the trusts, I did discover where you can put your tax file number in or put your birth certificate number in, and you could actually find the trusts and see how they were operating. I started to realize, and that was through personal experience as well. I worked in law. I've worked in law for, gosh, on and off for 30 something years. Law and legal is another language. I even said to one of my lawyer bosses and friends at the time, years and years ago, this is just made up. Law is just made up, or legal, I should say, is just made up. You guys have just made up a system. It got made up like hundreds of years ago, but you created another language out of it, which made it even more exclusive, which meant that people who couldn't navigate that language had to come to see professionals and pay money to professionals to get some things sorted out for themselves. He took on board what I said and pondered for a moment, and he said, yeah, that's right. I mean, it's even like medicine, hey? Medicine got created, and then all these fandangled words got included. It was a whole new language that got created. So you either had to be one of the professionals that understood the system, or you had to pay them to become a part of the system and be looked after by the system. Crazy, isn't it? So just create another language, create a bit of confusion and a bit of things that people don't understand, and you can create a whole profession where you're more elite, you're needed at certain times, and you're paid lots of money for it. I just realized that, we can't think the same anymore. You have to start looking at living as your own authority. And that's when I coined the phrase, I liked the phrase, diplomatic immunity. I wanted to live in another jurisdiction. And that became my go-to. How do I live outside the current jurisdiction? How do I create a new jurisdiction and live there? That really piqued my curiosity, right? And I really wanted to start understanding how could I do that? How could I live side by side with the current reality? And that's when I started realizing I was creating something new. I really was creating a new reality. I really felt like there were times where the old world and the old reality couldn't even see me. Now, I know that's a really crazy out there thing. And I can't give you all the basis and experience that I went through to get to that point. But what I realized was as I started creating a new jurisdiction for myself and a new world to live in, I was creating a new reality of some sort. So the next person I found was a guy called Peter Wilson, and he was doing a lot of stuff with CCC, UCC, I should say, and he was doing a lot of stuff with paperwork. And I started to do paperwork, some paperwork. And paperwork were, I don't know, things like a lawful notice of demand, hold harmless and indemnity forms, security agreements, forms rescinding signatures, and things like that. So basically, there were documents and that were declaring that I was aware of what the current system was doing and I didn't want to be a part of it anymore and I was making an exit. And it was putting the current system out there on notice that I was moving out. It was challenging to get your head around all of the language and what it was that I was doing, but it was also liberating. Like I served paperwork. Lots and lots of paperwork on the Prime Minister of Australia, on the Attorney General, on the Queen at the time in England, on the head of the church. There was a bit of trepidation when you're doing it, but when you've done it, it really is quite liberating and it really is rewiring your brain. I started realizing more and more that I shouldn't be listening to everybody else telling me how to live my life. I should be living my own life and living it in the best way that I can. I mean, what I noticed from the people that came to the talks and stuff is that they were beautiful people, all looking for the same thing. So why didn't we all work together now to create a new reality, right? That's what I started to look at. That's what we're all trying to figure out. But the thing was that everybody else was getting to a point that I'd gotten to where, what are we creating, right? Nobody's ever created this before. So we were all gathering and meeting each other, investigating and researching all sorts of things, trying to create the new road to a new reality. Each of us was finding little bricks, but there was no clear picture on where we were headed yet. That's what I figured I had been looking for, and everyone else was looking for. So, from the talks, I met hundreds of people wanting better lives and a better world. They were all walking the same path as me, and it made me so happy to meet all these people. I also, though, saw the stress and the mental fatigue that everybody was suffering from, and I'll come back to that later. Let's just wrap that part up a little bit because I just want to say what I discovered from doing all the talks to hundreds and hundreds of people was that change is needed. The whole world is created or made up. It's been made up by other people, right? We created it, but we need now to have a good moral compass, simple, slower lives. We need to change from the inside out, and we need to create more peace, more calm, more happiness. And I saw the importance of sharing stories of change because that's what everyone was doing. As I said earlier, one of my public talks was videoed. So if you go to helentaylor.com.au and click on the green door, you will find the video and you can have a little listen to the whole talk from that point. The insight that I got from 2022 and doing the talks was that we need more love. We need more love and we need more connection. You agree? You agree with it? I'm sure you do. So, let's move on. In 2023, I wrote and published my own book. It's called My Return to Love, A Journey from the Depths of Brokenness to the Heights of Self-Love. It had been brewing for about 2 years. I just didn't know how to start or where to start. And I never in a million years thought I was going to write about my own life, right? No. It was going to be about what I'd learned about life, or maybe what I'd learned about our minds and our thinking, or maybe even a book I thought about at one point about inspirational quotes, right? Gosh, I was just kidding myself. I was so off track, right? So I did a 2-hour seminar with a crowd called Ultimate 48-Hour Author. They were just here, based here in Australia at that time, and I'm happy to say that they are international now. I did the 2-hour seminar and it sealed it. The book would be about my life. In those 2 hours, I came to that conclusion, and it was such an inner revelation that when I got off the call, I just burst into tears. I burst into tears of happiness. I knew I was on the right path. So, I had to break down the book. I had to put it into 12 chapters. And how was I going to do that? I had no idea, right? Everyone had all sorts of advice and stuff, but you just got to get started. So I got started. I got myself a couple of big pads of post-it notes, those sticky notes that you can put everywhere. And down the hallway of my apartment, I put titles for 12 chapters of my book. And I started getting ideas of what was going to go in each of those chapters. So as I got ideas, they became post-it notes, and my whole wall of the entry hall of my apartment was at some stage completely covered in post-it notes. Can you imagine it? Colored post-it notes everywhere, everywhere about all these different elements of my life, all these different elements that made up the different stories of my life. What I also discovered through that time is that there is a big difference between how our mind processes things and how our heart processes things. And I suppose that's really thinking versus creativity, right? My mind and our minds love linear, love to see everything in a straight line with a beginning and a middle and an end. And creativity and even life itself, it just doesn't work like that. There were times where I could see all those post-it notes and I could see all those stories and those timelines and everything else floating around, millions of pieces of information, but I had no idea how I was going to pull them all together into a story. And I still can't quite tell you exactly how that works, but it does. You have to be okay with all the pieces of a story all over the place. You just have to be, because at some point they're all going to come together. So they did, right? In May of 2023, the authors group do a 2.5 day online retreat where you are encouraged and challenged to really start smashing out your book. And in those 2.5 days, I got 10,000 words out, which was just a wonderful achievement, right? And that then became, so that was May. By October, I had the book complete and submitted to an editor. And then it went on to editing, publishing, all the rest of it, right? My book is a story. It's story after story of what I experienced and how I overcame a lot of things in my life. Because I figured if I shared it and I shared how I overcame things, it would help others as well. I overcame all of those things in my life, and I wanted to really show people that no matter what it is, no matter what's gone on for you, there is an answer. I've been through suicide. I write about ghosts and spirits. I'm seeing auras, going through domestic violence, going through drug addiction, alcohol addiction, discovering karma. I didn't even know what that thing was. Telepathy, out-of-body experiences. It's just crazy, a crazy ride of my life. I came to know that we are more than the physical body and the five senses, that there is a life force or a consciousness or a God or whatever you want to call it. There's something else out there. It even spoke to me, and that's where my book begins, right? I just want to read that part of the book out for you. This is the start of my book, and the title is The Voice Told Me to Get Out. This seems like a really good place to start because this one event was really important and was going to change my life forever. Let me set the scene for you. I'm 33 years old and have been married for 7 years. I have three beautiful boys, Cameron, who is 6 years old, and twins, Shane and Gavin, who are both 4 years old. My husband, David, is at work and the kids are at school and kindergarten, respectfully. Sorry, that's respectively. I am at home alone, getting the housework done. I'm standing at the kitchen sink, mindlessly doing the dishes and gazing out the window over the backyard. A voice from somewhere behind me and a few feet above my right shoulder declared, "Get out." I can be very specific because I've analysed this moment over and over again. It's a loud, clear voice, and instantly I freeze. In that instant, I had so much information downloaded all at once. I know the voice is right. It knows my marriage is over. It knows. I've tried many ways to save the marriage, but none of those ways have worked. It knows there is nothing else I can do. It knows it's time for me to get out, and it knows I'm terrified at that thought. It knows all my thoughts. I have three kids. How will I survive? How will I have money? How will I feed them? All these thoughts are flooding my mind together with tons of images flooding my mind all at once. What the hell was happening to me? Mentally, I do the check. Husband at work, kids at school and kindergarten, no one is home. I am alone. So who the hell just spoke to me? I didn't even consider myself a religious person at all, so God never crossed my mind. But I did have to look. I had to check to make sure that no one was really there. I slowly turned around and no one was there. I just couldn't process it, so I went back to doing the dishes. But it happened again, and this time the voice boomed, "Get out now." It was incredible. This voice was telling me exactly what I already knew, that my marriage was over and I had to leave. It seemed to support me somehow, while giving me clear directions. I also realized something else that was conveyed to me at the same time. It was a knowing, and you just can't explain knowing. The knowing was that if I stayed married to David, I was going to die. So there you go. There's a little bit of my book, okay? And it encompasses, as I said earlier, all these crazy things that have happened to me throughout my life. Okay. What I came to the conclusion of with my book was that I was trying to change the outside world. I realized where I lacked love in my life, when there was no love, that nothing worked for me, right? I realized I was living out everyone else's lives as well. Like along the way, I'd become my mother, I'd become my father, I'd become all these other people, but I'd lost myself somewhere. I found the key, unlocked the door to those programs of mum, dad, and everybody else, and I stepped out and I found myself. That's what the book's about. I found self-love and I created a much better life now doing what I love to do, not being and behaving like everybody else, right? Then I started doing the book launch and speaking at book clubs, etc. And I started to see how the lack of love was also a big problem for others as well. So many people are carrying all their stories, carrying all the past. They haven't made peace with it. So many people just didn't understand who they really were. And that made me so sad. Here were more people, again, just like I saw in 2022 with the public speaking. Here were more people caught up in stress and busyness and anxiety and worry and pressure. And I saw a lack of love, more importantly, a lack of self-love and an emptiness. People were really struggling. But what they were doing was trying to change the outside world, just what I'd been trying to do, right? So the discovery from my book. Well, we're greater than our thinking, we're greater than our emotions, we're greater than the story of what we've gone through. Throughout my life, there were many things, many times, I should say, when something else was listening to me, something else was walking with me and even talking to me, right? What about you? Have you overcome your stories? Do you carry around your past? I mean, it's a really interesting question, isn't it? So the insight I got was that many people are anxious and worried, so many are stressed, there was more mental fatigue I was seeing. And when you're in that sort of space, I remember it, I've been through it, I've lived it, you can't plan and you can't focus because you just don't have the energy to do it. So 2024 is the next year, right? After 2022 and 2023, I was like, how can I help here? How can I help? I'd spent 2 years seeing how people wanted better and wanted more and wanted happiness and things like that. But they were all very mentally fatigued and very stressed out and were having trouble doing that. So, how can I help was my thought for 2024. So, I bought a healing system to Australia. I myself knew many techniques and processes from years of being an energy healer and a massage therapist and a counselor and a chiropractor, but I really didn't have, what's the word for it? I really didn't have the feeling, the urge to design a course, to market it and run it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'd come to a position, I suppose, where if I was supposed to do that, I would have an inner drive or an inner urge to do it, but I just didn't have that. So I wanted to find, well, what course or what lost for words here. That doesn't happen very often for me, does it? What course or what system could I find that was really going to help everybody? And that's when I had a light bulb moment. I remembered Dr. Francisco Rosero. He was a man I had met 16 years earlier when I was stressed out and extremely unwell. And his teachings changed my life and remained a part of my life ever since I met him. He'd been teaching the science behind healing and who we really are for 25 years. When I first connected with him, as I said, I was really stressed out and unwell. And I started doing learning his teachings and putting them into practice. I was doing his 5-minute meditation. I was doing that on a daily basis. I started learning his healing techniques and using them in my life. And within 6 weeks of really committing to this new process, that again was only taking me minutes, not hours and things like that out of my day, I stopped smoking. I stopped smoking overnight. And I was astounded. Right? Because mentally I couldn't figure out how the hell it happened. But all mental thoughts connected with smoking were gone. It was like I couldn't find them in my mind. I couldn't even find a way to explain it. I still struggle these days to try and explain to people what had happened to me. But I stopped smoking overnight and I knew it was from doing these practices. I knew it. After that, then came a time where I got really sick and I got cancer. Amongst other ailments that I had at the time, but I knew that I was going to work with alternative practices to help myself with cancer. And that led me down a journey of understanding about my body and how the body operates and how it gets sick and how it heals. So, Adamantine, or Dr. Francisco Rosero's system, Adamantine Healing, helped me stop smoking overnight and certainly helped me through my cancer journey. So, he was the one that was that light bulb moment. He was the one that I put it out there to reconnect with him and found him immediately. It was just one of those, serendipitous moments where everything just went clunk, clunk, clunk into place, like the last few years had been doing for me as well. So we reconnected and we released his free classes and teachings into Australia, and Adamantine Australia was born. He was still doing the practices. He's still been running it for all those 25 plus years through Ecuador and where he's located over there. And he's been doing extremely well. So we brought it here to Australia. We were teaching people his 3-minute meditation, which changes your brain chemistry and connects you with source because there's no need anymore for long meditations. We were teaching people how to release pain and how to heal their body in 3 minutes as well. And helping them understand that it's not a miracle, it's just what we're really actually capable of doing. One thing I've learned along the way with him is that we can heal ourselves. We heal our cuts, burns, broken bones, and much, much more. It was also a journey of really discovering how our body operates and how our mind really operates. And what we've been taught up to this point of time isn't particularly correct, right? I just love that Francisco has a science basis to what he teaches as well, which really gives people's minds something to focus on and gives it the relevance that it needs. But I also loved that he was sharing how his world in Ecuador operates because, for starters, the hospital and healing systems over there in Ecuador encourage and incorporate alternative therapies. It's not uncommon for doctors or even surgeons to recommend that people meditate, that people start to do maybe some fasting or do some energy healing or some Reiki or whatever. You get the idea of what I'm saying. He started revealing to myself and all the others in these classes that they're doing that quite naturally over there, and their healing system is actually very cheap and very easy to get into. You don't have to wait months and years to get surgeries or even appointments. You can have private health over there, but they have a public health system, and it's all very affordable and all very easy to navigate and get into. He even made me aware that there are some people that do, little holidays on an annual basis to go over there and get their health researched and checked up and everything else, because people know how good the system is. I also started to learn how good their whole environmental system is and their culture, and they grow all their own produce, and that have wonderful seasons that keep the produce going year long. Where here in Australia, we've sold off a lot of our resources, and we're having to buy everything back in. And in Ecuador, they're self-sustainable, they're looking after themselves, and the people over there even have a voice and tell their government, how to operate and what to do on behalf of the people. It was just liberating and really revealing, because that then also went along with what I was looking for, and many others are looking for, examples of how our world and our politics and our government and education and money and food, how it all should be and could be working. It was wonderful. So out of that year of 2024 and bringing the healing system to Australia, I discovered that we are tremendous formidable spirits or souls, whatever you want to call it, and we can tell our bodies to heal, and the body will do so. That's what I discovered. So what about you, right? What do you believe in? Do you believe in something else? Have you had an experience of healing? That's why I'm running this show. That's why I'm having guests on, so we can start talking about how we build a new world and how we connect with ways that are working and ways that are possible. Over those last 3 years, I've met hundreds of people that are wanting a better world, just like me. And through them and their groups, I met networks of hundreds and thousands of people here in Australia and even worldwide who are really tired of the current world and want good change. Many are making changes and creating that world, and I want to give them a voice. That's what I started to realize, that here in Australia, people are tired, they're unhealthy, they're unwell, and they're really struggling. And I've lived every part of that myself as well. And I want to help. And I want to help by having guests on this show who have made change in their life, who are creating a new world and a new reality for themselves. Because what I realized, and you'll see today after even just hearing the bits and pieces of my life, stories inspire change. Stories connect with something in us. It might be just one word, one sentence, one idea that helps us to change for the better. That's what stories are all about. And I want to give just the ordinary men and women in the world a platform and a voice to share their stories. And when I started doing that through community radio, I didn't realize, but I'd opened a door that also started attracting towards me professionals and experts in different fields of health and politics and education and all those sorts of platforms that have a story to share too, right? What I loved through that community radio was that some of just the most ordinary men and women, when they started to share their stories, didn't even realize the profound change that had happened for them and the profound moments that had happened for them, and how important that could be for somebody else to listen to. They were inspiring people, and they didn't even realize that their own experiences could do that. So I want to give a platform for people to be heard. That's the common goal for me. And what I've now realized, more importantly than anything, is that this whole world is about frequencies. The old thing of like attracts like. Well, that's usually, let me give you an example. When I was a drug addict, I was surrounded by drug addicts, right? Because like attracts like. But when I decided to change myself and I decided I wanted something else, they started to move away out of my lives, and other people started to move into my life. We're all frequency. The whole thing is about frequency. You're listening to my voice. So this is sound, and this is sound frequency. And what I've realized is that the frequency of our stories and the sound that we're putting out into the world is changing the world for the better. It's inspiring people's hearts. It's triggering curiosity. It's triggering new ideas. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Let's create this huge groundswell of beautiful information and beautiful stories and voices. That's my goal. So join me each Monday, that's Melbourne, Australia, or Sunday, which is Canada, US, as I talk with you and my guests about change. Our stories and conversations will create a new world. So I look forward to sharing my upcoming guests each week with you, sharing their stories and their ideas, and I look forward to helping you to have more love and beautiful change in your life. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening today. And I look forward to talking with you again next Monday or Sunday, depending on where you are in the world. Bless you all. My love to you all. Bye. Next Monday or Sunday, depending on where you are in the world. Bless you all. My love to you all. Bye.